Ryan Seacrest here. Every great barbecue has one secret ingredient. Patience. You do a little, and you wait a little. And while your dinner does its thing, you got a few minutes to yourself, right? Well, kick back with a little Chumba Casino. A flip and a spin. Who knows? Maybe even a login bonus. It is the perfect recipe. Chumba Casino. Always good to have you back.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Chase Willie DeMace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason here at Bridgestone Arena, the Jack Daniels Barrel House. Predators and Islanders here tonight. We'll have pregame coverage with Max Hurst starting at 6 o'clock and then the puck drop just after 7. It is a Preds game day, which is presented by Social Furniture. They offer same-day delivery and installation. Shop today during their Black Friday sale for a limited time and take an extra 20% off. Shop local. Shop Social over on the west side. All right, Predators, Islanders tonight. And, Derek, they are trying to go for 3 in a row, trying to make this a winning streak. They get the 2-1 win on Saturday, their return home against the Rangers. They get the 2-1 win on Tuesday against the Minnesota Wild. So while we're at it, are we going to call a 2-1 win tonight over the Islanders and just keep that score going?
Let's do it.
Let's call it a win's a win, right?
A win's a win. I take it. So,
but I think there's another level, and this is something that we talked about yesterday. I really liked the game Tuesday night that Duchesne and Johansson had, and you know, I think that was more their type of game. Juuso Parsonen has gotten called up. He's added a little spark to the offense. But I think that that you need to get to that next level, and I feel like they're trying to do that. And being at home helps you because they got 5 straight at home that started with the Rangers. So then you got 1 game in Detroit, your hometown. You come back for 3 more at Bridgestone Arena to end the month of November. So I really like the fact that you have so many home games right now, but now you kind of build on what you started with these last 2 games and the 2 wins.
Well, yeah, you just hope that now the team is sort of finding their groove. You hope that, you know, what we saw in the first, 10 games isn't indicative of who this team is. What we've seen in the last 2 games, we hope that's who this team really is.
Sure.
You saw Saros pick up his game. Duchesne picks up his game. Nino Niederreiter gets another goal. I mean, this team is, it seems as if they're starting to come into form, and it's at the right time. But you hope that they can keep this going moving forward, because the last thing you want is to win 2 and then, you know, drop another 2 or 3, and it becomes this inconsistent thing. But now that, you know, you see playing a little bit better, you hope that translates into more wins than not.
Yeah, and speaking of UC Soros, John Hines, the head coach, was on with Robbie and Rexroad earlier today, and he discussed his goaltender having a little extra help.
You know, I think there were some situations where I think he got back on his heels a little bit, particularly when we got back from Europe. You know, like the first shot against Dallas, you know, went in, and I thought there was more situations like that. But, you know, we've talked to him. I think mentally he's better. I also think it's been good that we've been able to play Lankinen, too, where sometimes when a goalie struggles a little bit, whether it's with certain things or just mentally, you know, the practice time is important, and Juice is such a technical guy that I think it's been nice that we've been able to get him some practice time, some games off, you know, with him feeling good about his partner going in and helping us win a game and playing well.
That's John Hines this morning, and I think that's a good point. Kevin Lankinen was on Smashville Live last night, got to talk to him a little bit. He's been a really nice addition to this team, because if you think back, Mace, you had for so long Pekka-Rinne and Juuse Saros. You had a 1-2 punch.
Exactly.
Even though Pekka was the top guy, as Saros got older and got more experience, he became, you know, basically your 1B, and then eventually took the job, and that's where we are here today. Lankinen, I think, has provided a nice spark and is a heck of a backup to UC Saros, but it's all about confidence. And I've seen the last 2 games, and even though you'd love to go out and win 6-0 every night,
yeah,
when you have these tight battles like they've had against the Rangers and against the Wild and likely are going to have tonight against the Islanders, I think that is huge for a goalie's confidence, to be able to hang in those games and know that he's the one backstopping you to a win.
Well, it's everyone should gain confidence from that. The goalie, who had been struggling a little bit, now he seemed to sort of have found his footing, you know, or the guys that are in front of him. Now they believe and they know that, okay, UC's back. He's back to the old UC. Now we can sort of pick this thing up and they gain more confidence. And then the head coach, you know, he can do things probably a little bit different now that his goalie is back to form, because in especially and I'm sure on the hockey, if your goalie is struggling, you're not going to take as many chances as, or you're going to be more of a defensive minded team, as a head coach. But when you got UC playing at top form, and hopefully he's back to that, now you can possibly take more chances. Now you could possibly, you know, get that offense to going, because you know that our guy in net is going to hold us down.
I mentioned Juuso Parsonen and the spark that he's added to the lineup. John Hines commented on him earlier today.
Against Minnesota, I thought he played pretty well. You know, I think there's a little bit more there. Just, you know, I thought there were some plays where he's such a good skater and a big, strong guy and good sense. I thought there was some forced plays that I think took the line or himself out of offensive situations. But I really like, you know, he was good from a defensive aspect. I thought in the offensive zone, like he can play against NHL players with his power and size. And now it's just making sure that, you know, for him, he's not forcing plays at this level. He's such a good player. I think just if he can continue to take what the game gives him, I think he's going to be a guy that's going to be able to continue to play well. But I thought it was two pretty good games for him.
That's John Hines on Juuso Parsonen and what he's seen out of him in the first two games. And, you know, I think it's awesome when a rookie makes their debut and they score a goal. But it also adds something, because you go, oh, he's going to do that every night. He's going to be, oh, here we go. He's a superstar. He's going to be the goal-per-game player. And we know that it doesn't work like that. It's like a receiver or running back or whatever in the NFL making their debut and they score a touchdown. You just expect that every time. There are more aspects to the game, and therefore he's going to have to grow into it.
Well, yeah, he's going to it's just like anything. You know, that first well, let's just say sports. It's just like any sport. When you have a good prospect, a good player, and he's playing or she's playing for the first time, well, you know what? For the first time, the team that they're playing are just now seeing this person, man or woman, for the first time. So they don't know quite how to defend that. And, you know, so they keep it honest. And that player may have a great game. And then you know what happens across the league, whether it be NFL, NBA, NHL, MLB, WNBA, you know what happens? They start to watch film and they're like, we can't let this player get us again.
Right.
Now we need to start paying attention.
Right.
That's what happens. So you hope that the young man can continue, but more than likely, you know, it won't be like that. He probably still ends up being a good player, I have no doubt, but it's not a goal a game.
Right.
You know, I don't think anybody scored a goal a game. Nothing? No.
No, not yet.
Yeah, not yet.
No. Haven't seen that yet.
Exactly. Me either.
Chase McCabe, Derek Mason, 615-737-1025 if you want to weigh in on anything we've talked about to this point. But coming up next, we'll get back into the Titans matchup at Lambeau as they will take on the Green Bay Packers on Thursday Night Football. Be sure to tune in for the NFL pregame show tonight, live from Twin Peaks in Cool Springs, located at 1634 Galleria Boulevard. You can join Caroline Fenton and D-Mace and Chris Sanders from 4 to 6 prior to the Titans taking on the Green Bay Packers. Pregame is presented by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, Superbook Sports, and Ounce of Hope Cannabis Company on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Okay.
Chase Willie D-Mace, 1025, 1063, the game. Preds fans, hang out before the Preds game at Superbook Lounge and Landshark Bar and Grill in Margaritaville on Broadway with 1025, 1063, the game. You can place your bets with Superbook and enjoy great food and drink specials. Plus, enter for a chance to win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason with you. Willie Donick is going to be up here in just a few minutes when he's done with morning skate duties. And again, Predators taking on the Islanders here tonight. But the Titans and the Packers in Lambeau Field. So Aaron Jones is averaging 73.8 yards per game this year, 5.6 yards per attempt. We really saw the run game. And you throw A.J. Dillon in there as kind of the complimentary back. But Aaron Jones, to me, is the focal point. And it worked against the Dallas Cowboys. That's how they beat them. Do you think, though, that Green Bay is going to be able to do that tonight against this Titans defense? Or is it going to force Aaron Rodgers to have to throw more? And right now, is that a good thing?
we would have I don't think, you know, a year ago, 2 years ago, we were at least, let's say the beginning of the season, we would have never come on these airwaves and said, man, you know, we need to stop Green Bay's run and not worry too much about their passing game. It's almost like we want him to pass the ball and not them run the ball. Those two things don't operate in the same space. Aaron Rodgers and wanting them to throw the football. Aaron Rodgers and wanting them to throw the football. That don't operate in any other world but the world we live in today. Because they, Green Bay Packers, have been a good run game and they've struggled in the past this year. And we all know why. The young talent that he has hasn't been on the same page with him. There's been a lot of drop balls, inconsistencies. And it's almost like we want Green Bay to throw the ball because they haven't proven they can be consistent. One thing they have proven is they are consistently a good run team. Well, the Titans are a good run stopping team.
Yeah.
So how does that work out, you know, tonight after having, you know, really three days off? Can the Titans still stand strong against the run, against a team that knows that if we want to get our offense going, we need to run the football? It's no longer get our offense going by throwing the football and then we can run. No, with Green Bay, uncharacteristically, it's let's run the football first to open up the passing game because they're inconsistency. So I think the Titans will do a good job. I think it will. Aaron Rodgers is going to have to throw the football in order to win this game. And does that, you know, after what happened last week with the Green Bay Packers and them, you know, their emergence of who was it? Watson? Is that the receiver?
Yeah.
Watson?
Christian Watson.
Yeah, Christian Watson. Their emergence of Watson last week. Maybe they think they can throw the ball a little bit more. So, you know, the Titans are going to force them. I know they are. They're going to force them to throw the football because the Titans are really good against the run.
They are. And, you know, I think Jeffrey Simmons could be a key in all this. Is he back? But, I mean, they did a good job against it last week, even without, you know, without him.
Yeah.
So I think that could potentially be something this week as well. But I never, you know, it's like you and we talked about this yesterday. I never thought we'd live in a world where I would go, you know, I kind of want Aaron Rodgers to have to throw it.
I pray that he throws the ball 40 times, please.
Why is it, like, you go back and you watch, like, Peyton Manning and Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, those three especially, that in their prime, in their best, it didn't matter who the receiver was. Mm-hmm. They would make that receiver look like a Hall of Famer. They would make that receiver look like Jerry Rice. Now, as they've gotten older, I think Brady's been able to do it probably a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. But he also has
talent. Yeah.
He has some of the best talent he's ever had.
Exactly.
So why is it, though, that those guys were able to do that so well?
I mean, they are because they are once a generation quarterbacks. You know, Tom didn't start off that way, but damn it, he's that way now. He's a once in a lifetime of football quarterback. Nobody else has been better than him. Nobody else I can see will be better than him. No one will. I don't believe no one will eclipse the numbers that he's putting up in regards to his career. 100,000 yards in passing, 7 Super Bowls, everything else to come along with that. I don't think nobody will ever pass that feat that he's established. Peyton Manning was the same way. Aaron Rodgers is the same way. You're talking about once in a generation quarterbacks. So they were able to do it because of their skill set and their intellect of the game and their knowledge. Now what is happening, it happened to Peyton, and, it happened a lot to Peyton because of the injury, I think. I think he could have, had he not been injured, he'd have played almost just as long as Tom Brady. But because of injury, he wasn't able to. Aaron Rodgers, he doesn't have the talent. And he doesn't want to take those chances anymore that he used to take with Davante Adams. Because
right.
He knows that I can take that with Davante Adams, and more than likely Devontae is going to come down with it. I've tried it with these guys, and these guys are not coming down with the ball. You saw with Tom Brady, when he didn't have Evans or Godwin out there, he struggled.
Sure.
Now he has Godwin back. That's his Gronk. Godwin is his Gronk. And when he needs a play, he goes to Godwin. When he needs a deep pass or crucial catch in the end zone, he goes to Evans. He still has those playmakers. Well, Aaron Rodgers doesn't have those established playmakers, let's say that. And
right.
He's struggling a little bit now because of that. He's getting older. He isn't anticipating the way he used to. But he's still a quarterback that is very, very dangerous. And if you overlook the aspect of him throwing a football, that could spell disaster for you as a defense.
I also think that, Brady probably got better, number one, because he had a chip on his shoulder being a sixth-round pick. But I think he got better because he had to be the one that was the best, not having like the top flight receivers. Randy Moss was probably the best receiver that he ever had. When he got to that point, he had Edelman, he had Welker,
who was the Gibbons,
guy? He was the guy from
Seattle.
Louisville.
Yeah, and he
won the MVP.
Yeah, he won the MVP in the Super Bowl.
I'm blanking on his name.
Man, what was his name? But he ended up signing a deal with Seattle.
Yeah.
And leaving. And his career was never the same.
And then he came back.
With these quarterbacks, man, it's just these
Deion Branch.
Yeah, Deion Branch. Yeah. These elite quarterbacks, man, we look at them and we marvel at what they're able to do. But then, we got to give kudos to the people that are throwing it to as well, because if they're not getting open and they're not making those tough catches, then Tom's not who he is now. Peyton's not who he is. Aaron's not who he is. They go hand in hand. That's why I say you don't want to, even though Green Bay hasn't been throwing the football as well as of lately, you don't want to go in and disrespect Aaron Rodgers' ability to win the game throwing the football. You never want to walk into a building and discount Aaron Rodgers and say, okay, we don't need to worry about Aaron Rodgers because he hadn't been consistent each year. We need to worry about the run game. Well, yeah, you need to worry about the run game. You need to worry about stopping it. But you're still, your number one focus should be Aaron Rodgers and not letting him get any momentum throwing the football. Because I think I listened to him the other day. He said he was finally getting to a point where he was throwing the football where he wanted to throw it, and it was getting right where he wanted to throw it. That's dangerous. When Aaron Rodgers comes out and said, this is the first time I threw the ball, I was throwing the ball exactly where I wanted to throw it, and it was getting there. That's dangerous, because now he's getting in the rhythm. And, coming into the game, your main focus still has to be Aaron Rodgers, with stopping the run as being 1B.
and you got to fluster him.
Yeah, you have to.
So. Which yeah. is not easy to do sometimes, mm-hmm. or is it? Or, I don't know. 615-737-1025 if you want to weigh in on the Titans as they take on the Packers tonight. What are you looking for as a key for the Titans to get the victory tonight? 615-737-1025. It's Chase Willie D-Mace, Chase and Derek right now at Bridgestone Arena, 1025-1063 the game. Chase Willie D-Mace, 1025-1063 the game, talking about the Titans and the Packers tonight. Predators wrapping up morning skate. We'll get that report from Willie when he gets up here in just a few minutes of what to expect tonight, lineup-wise and what have you. If he's going to go with the same lineup, John Hines, that is, we will see. As we're live at Bridgestone Arena here in the Jack Daniels Barrel House. The cold tonight, you know, you hate cold, as we've learned about you, Derek, over
yes.
the years. So what did you do to prepare for knowing that you were going to play in really cold conditions? It's going to be in the 20s.
Tonight. Yeah, there was nothing I could do. I mean, you know, I didn't wear sleeves. You know, I had my heat packs. I had my, you know, my hand warmers. But that was really about it. I tried to wear what I would wear on a warm day. We had a.
Did you wear sleeves or no?
No sleeve. I like to feel the football.
Yeah.
You know, I tried not to wear sleeves.
I've worn
sleeves a few times.
I think against New England, you did.
I don't even know if I wore sleeves in that game.
You had a.
I had some on my head, yeah, but I didn't have any sleeves on. I know I wore it like my first year or two in a league. I wore it because I wasn't playing a lot, so I was sitting on the sideline. But once I started to play a lot, I stopped wearing it because I couldn't feel the football.
I used to crack up at Brad Hopkins telling the story with the O-line that
that
you basically – what you wore in August is what you wore in December. So if you exactly. wanted sleeves in December, you wore sleeves in August.
Absolutely. So that's the way it was.
You just had to deal with it. But, you know, as we know, offensive linemen are a different breed. But I do wonder about that, especially with – you know, and I mentioned Ryan Tannehill and his ankle, but what about Jeffrey Simmons and his ankle? You know, if he does play tonight – you know, how will the elements, the cold, I don't think it's supposed to snow or rain or anything, but the cold, you know, how will that affect that? And also, you know, guys dealing with hamstrings.
To me, it's the hamstrings for yeah. me. Even though you can put a hot patch on it to try to keep it warm, you know, that hamstring, even on a warm day, if it's bothering you, it's bothering you. And there's nothing that you can do. You just hope that, you know, you don't, you know, tweak it or hurt it any more than what it actually is. We saw last week, you know, it was pretty warm outside last week. And, you know, guys still left the game because mm-hmm. of the hamstring. So this makes it even worse playing in these conditions. I'm not worried about Ryan Tannehill's ankle. I think he'll be fine. It's the guys with hamstring problems that I'm yeah. worried about.
The injury report, Randy Bullock, Bud Dupree, Lonnie Johnson, Ben Jones, Amani Hooker, all out tonight for the Titans. Jeffrey Simmons and Elijah Molden, who's dealing with a groin, they are both listed as questionable. The hope is both of those guys will be able to go, but Jeffrey Simmons did miss last week, so you wonder if it's going to be the case. Once again, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate has a question on Derrick Henry. Nate, welcome in.
Well, I didn't think about the cold probably impacting Ryan Tannehill. I think he'd be fine because I think it's just going to go numb with it being 20 degrees. So I don't think he's going to be able to feel it in the first place. Anyways, Derrick Henry, and keeps running Derrick Henry the entire game, I feel like the defense is going to want to basically almost quit tackling him later in the game because it's so cold. They're basically going to be running into a brick wall.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Nate. What do you think?
him running into a brick wall. I mean, him, Derrick
Henry.
If
they keep running him, basically.
I mean, what other choice did they have?
Right.
You know, you would love to be in a position where the Titans didn't have to rely so much on Derrick Henry. But we know that's not the world that the Titans live in
right now.
And they didn't live in that world last year. Even though they had A.J. Brown, they still had to rely on the run game. Half the season with Derrick Henry and then the other half with Foreman and running back by committee. And they were able to do a good job. You know, you just – because of what they are not able to do offensively from a pass standpoint, you're going to have to ride Derrick Henry. And Derrick Henry understands it.
Yep.
You know, and you don't have no other – you have no other option to turn to that you can rely on consistently. You can't turn and rely on the pass game consistently because it's been inconsistent. So the only thing you can rely on that has been consistent is the run game. So I feel for Derrick Henry, but he understands. Listen, if we are going to go far, it's up to me to get him there.
Let's see. Mike Garofolo has tweeted out, Jeffrey Simmons is expected to play tonight against the Packers. Source tell me and Rap Sheet, one of the top defensive linemen in the game, is back after missing last week's win over the Broncos. So Mike Garofolo reporting that Jeffrey Simmons will be in tonight. He's listed as questionable. That's huge. We'll see how effective he is because I do think that, you know, you watch that game against the Chiefs, he was definitely limited but made an impact at the same time. Nate Texan says, no, I mean the Packers defense running into Henry, the brick wall. That's what he meant.
Oh, the Packers defense running into Henry. I said Henry was going to have two bills. I still believe it. That Packer defense is just going to – they haven't played a running back like Derrick Henry. Not many, you know. It's like you haven't played a running back like Derrick Henry until you play Derrick Henry.
Right.
So, you know, that defense from a run standpoint is horrible. And, you know, Derrick Henry, that's why This is going to be, I believe, one of those Derrick Henry nights. Now, whether the Titans win or not, I don't know. But this is going to be a Derrick Henry night. What the Titans can allow it for it to be is a Aaron Rodgers type of night as well. So if you have a Derrick Henry and an Aaron Rodgers type of night, whoever has the ball last will win. That's the way I feel.
Another texter, Ron, says, I can't wait to see Rodgers swearing on the sideline as he's getting off the ground. Simmons and this defense need to keep him frustrated.
Yeah, they're going to have to. The best way to beat the great ones out there, you know, whether it's Manning at the time or whether it's Rodgers or Brady or Mahomes, is you get them uncomfortable in the pocket. You make them pat their feet. You make them get a little jittery in the huddle, I mean, in the pocket. When you make them feel uncomfortable in the pocket, you are on your way to having a good day. If you allow those guys to sit in the pocket and become comfortable with what they're doing, I feel for you. but the Titans defense, the way they approach each game, they've made it hell for every quarterback that has played them this year. They haven't come out with a win every time, but they've made it, you know, very difficult for quarterbacks just to sit in the pocket and pass the football.
Coming up next, I'm going to tag Willie in. Willie, here, we'll tag in. And Willie will join and give us an update from Morning Skate. I have some suit duties to tend to, so I'll let you guys take it away as the Predators and Islanders in action tonight at Bridgestone Arena, Packers, Titans, and at Lambeau in Green Bay. We'll continue all that discussion coming up next on Chase Willie D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
And welcome back to Chase, Willie, and D-Mace. 102.5 The Game, 106.3 The Game Nashville app. Willie Donick here with you now at Barrel House. Just came upstairs. Morning Skate. A lot of New York media in town with the Islanders here. And the Predators and Islanders will go head-to-head tonight at 7 o'clock. It's a game where the Predators are looking for their third straight win here on this homestand, but they'll have to beat an Islanders team that's won 9 out of 11. They have been outstanding of late. D-Mace, what's going on?
Nothing much, man. You know.
Big night.
Big night. We got
Preds and Titans. It's a two TV night.
Absolutely. You got to have it. You know, you got to have the, you know, TV on Prime, and you got to have the TV on Bally. It's Bally's, right? Tonight?
It is Bally.
Yeah, Bally's tonight. So you got to have that split screen, people.
That's right.
Got to watch it because both games are important. So you got to watch them.
I'm glad I'm doing the Predators game because at home, I don't. The technology, I'd be challenged. I'd be challenged tonight. Although, I was asked this question, and I meant to check on this before the show. When your local team is playing, is the game available on a local market? And Nick, maybe you know. Is it on NFL Network?
No, it's on Prime.
It's only on Amazon Prime, even when your team in your market.
I don't know about that.
That would be correct, Willie.
What's that?
It's going to be only on Amazon.
Yeah,
only
on Amazon has sole rights to it. So, once again, you got to watch it on Amazon Prime.
Okay.
So, people out there, if you don't have
prepare
Prime,
accordingly.
Yeah.
Prepare accordingly.
Yeah, prepare, because if you don't have
Fire
Prime,
Stick.
Get somewhere where they do have Prime.
What were some of the things you guys were telling me I needed to get?
You need the Fire Stick.
I don't have the Fire Stick. I have the HDMI cord that I've been plugging into the TV.
All Willie needs is the HDMI plugged in, and he needs to do the split screen on his laptop. Then he's all square up there in the booth, right? I mean, hopefully.
No, he can't watch the game.
Yeah, that will not happen for me tonight.
He can't watch the game tonight.
I'm going to hit the old record button and come back and watch the Titans after the
I don't know
game,
a single person that records anymore, Willie.
I do record because I like to go back and watch it.
Well,
if two games are on, like say, for instance, if UT's playing and say Michigan State's playing, when I'm going to watch Michigan, I'm going to tape UT and I'm going to watch Michigan State so I can go back and, you know, watch the UT game. So I record games a lot, you know.
I record the Titans all the time because half the time my son plays fall baseball. So a lot of times he's been out of pocket for some of those games, actually on the field playing. So I've had to come back. A lot of the Preds, you know, a lot of times we're traveling on a Sunday or playing on a Sunday. So there are times I've got to come back and watch after the fact. So I always record it. So a lot of challenges tonight. We'll see what happens from the Predators' end. They're playing a team in the Islanders, coached by Lane Lambert. Now, this is an interesting story, D-Mace. The Islanders had some great success under Barry Trotz, the longtime coach for the Predators. But last year, the Islanders had a huge wave of COVID hit them early in the season, and it hit their whole team. And it happened to them before it started happening around the league a lot more. So they felt like they were sort of the guinea pigs. Uh-huh. They didn't shut their team down. So basically they were playing with a minor league team for several weeks as they started to get guys back here and there. Some guys were more sick than others. They also had a brand new arena that wasn't ready at the start of the season. So their first, 12 games were on the road. So they had that, and then they had all these home games in a brand new building. But when it opened, COVID hit the team, so they had half of their team out. So their season just went down the tubes early on. So they made a coaching change. They let Barry Trotz go, which a lot of people were like, wait a minute. Didn't show the guy much slack.
Considering what happened.
But they did it. They inserted Lane Lambert, who was a longtime Barry Trotz assistant, not only for the Islanders, but before that for Washington, when they won the Cup together. And then even here, in the last couple of years that Barry Trotz was with the Predators. So Lane Lambert has done a very good job, and they're 11-6. They're playing a little faster than they have before, but they've got the same guys that they've had for a long time. It's a veteran team with a lot of depth, so it's a good challenge for the Predators tonight if they're going to try to keep this this little win streak. We had an argument yesterday.
It's a streak. It's a streak.
You say it's a streak.
I said it's a streak. Two is a streak.
Three, there's no discussion.
That's a
three,
heater. That's a heater.
We want the heater. The heater is good. So we'll see what happens tonight. It doesn't look like it was hard to tell from the morning skate today, but it looks obvious that UC Saros will play
changes.
Again. Don't think any big lineup changes tonight. Mm-hmm. They're going to keep it going, and we'll see if they can put together another good effort tonight. Certainly won't be easy. Meanwhile, I know you guys have sort of hit backwards and forwards. What's going to happen today? What's the latest weather in Green Bay?
Man,
cold. Not
let's
ridiculous.
Just say,
I don't
let's
know
just
how much
say it's going to be cold. Okay. Yeah. Now, how cold it's going to be in Green Bay? That's a different story. You're talking about anywhere from, you know.
Yesterday when I checked, it didn't look ridiculous. I think it was maybe in the high 20s, in the 30s, when I'm like, okay, mid-November, I'll take it, as long as it's not a blizzard. I can remember, Derek, games you played in some extreme cold. I remember the one game in Cleveland where there was at least a foot of snow on the field. You remember that one.
Yeah.
I think Eddie George ran it 40-something times or whatever it was. You guys stopped passing.
That was the lead in
2000, I think.
Yeah, was that in Cleveland?
It was in Cleveland.
And it was a blizzard. I mean, it was a complete blizzard.
It's the most snow I can remember a game the Titans have played on the field. Like, you could see the snow, like, your ankles.
Yeah.
Ankle deep.
Yeah, it was there. It was a fun game, though.
You caught a couple passes
early. Yeah, I caught a couple passes.
You guys
early.
Went down and scored, and then once you got like a two-score lead, it was like,
yeah,
we're not taking
Eddie
chances.
Eddie George. Let's just run Eddie George. And Eddie George had a big, I think he had like 150 yards somewhere around there.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be a heater tonight. It's a heater tonight in Green Bay.
In Green Bay?
Oh,
it's going to be warm.
Oh,
down.
It's going to be 25 degrees.
25 degrees? Hey, okay. Not
it's
going to
be a burner tonight, boy. 25 degrees.
You wouldn't even wear sleeves.
No,
yeah.
Heck no. Not in 25-degree weather. No, man. Goodness. Oh, man.
Those again. Offensive linemen, they never wear sleeves anyway. Isn't
exactly.
That, wasn't that one of those things that the offensive line did on the teams you played? They would never wear sleeves.
Yeah, well, you had to. Whatever you started off the year in, like in training camp, when it was 100 degrees, if you wore sleeves then, you had to wear sleeves at the end of the year. No matter what. If you didn't wear sleeves when it was 100 degrees, you couldn't wear sleeves when it was 2 degrees. That's the way the offensive linemen, you know, that's how they rolled. So,
wow.
You know.
How you start is how you finish.
Exactly. Absolutely. So.
The other one I remember, Derek, of course, was the playoff game against the Patriots. That was the coldest, I think, degrees-wise.
Uh-huh.
What was it, like 4 degrees? But the wind chill was even lower. But that game, I admired both – the Titans and the Patriots in that game, how well they threw you guys threw the passes. It's not like everybody had to run. You guys were throwing the ball. You made a lot of catches in that game. I thought for as cold as that game was, I thought it was a great football game because both teams handled the elements pretty well. They could still pass.
Yeah, we still was able to pass. So and just because it's cold outside, you know, when it's 20 degrees or, you know, 10 degrees, it doesn't mean you can't throw the ball. It's when you get into the snowy weather or the raining weather where you have, you know, extreme troubles at throwing the football. So just because it's cold doesn't mean, oh, we can't throw the football. You know, you just have to – the quarterback has to be aware of, you know, the football. And, you know, it gets colder, it gets a little bit harder. It's possibly a little bit more slick. So the quarterback just has to be aware of that, and receivers have to be aware of it as well. It's not like we're just going to, you know, shut it down and not pass the ball. You know, so they shouldn't have a problem unless it turns into snow or something like that. But if both teams want to throw the football in this weather, they can. Green Bay's used to it. You know,
that's the thing that I would be a little concerned with is there an adjustment for the Titans if it does get really cold? I mean, it's not like Ryan Tannehill hasn't played a lot of games in cold weather, but, you know, I wonder, too, the equipment guys, keeping the football with a good grip, how tough is that when the weather gets cold? Because, you know, the receivers have the gloves, right? So if the ball is there.
Quarterbacks, you know, some quarterbacks wear the gloves. You see quarterbacks wearing gloves. They may wear it on its offhand. But some quarterbacks do wear it on their throwing hand as well.
I have said, the first guy I ever saw do that was Jim McMahon. I'd never seen a guy do that. And then he liked it so much, he just kept wearing them. Even in a dome, like the Super Bowl. If you look at the Super Bowl film, he's wearing
a glove.
Gloves on both
because
hands.
Because it just, you get a, it get that extra grip on the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Some quarterbacks like that they have that extra control of, they have that control of the ball in cold weathers. In cold weather, some quarterbacks don't like it at all because they can't feel the ball.
That's how I would think. I would prefer not to do it. I would want to feel the ball, but I guess if you can't grip it very well, And you get used to the glove.
But if you have bigger hands, I mean, it doesn't. You gripping the ball shouldn't be that much of an issue.
Well,
for you.
I would also be a little bit concerned about different center.
Uh-huh.
This will be the first game that Ryan Tannehill doesn't have Ben Jones as the center. I think the last time
right.
he missed a game, he only missed one, but that was when Tannehill was still quarterbacking. That's way back in 2016 is the last time I think he missed a game. So center exchange, cold weather. Hope they, you know, take a little extra time in the warm-ups to go through it.
Yeah, that's sort of like the, you know, even with the guys that they have that are not playing, I think, you know, your center not being there is the one that's critical, the most critical to this team, the center, and not having your place kicker, your field goal kicker. But you just hope you get your field goal kicker back in enough time toward the latter part of the season, because you're going to need him. But right now, I think not having Ben Jones on an offensive line that's already struggling, that is huge. And then a quarterback center exchange, that is huge. We saw what happened to Buffalo. I know they had their center, but, you know, some people blame it on the elbow of Josh Allen. So if there's any, you know, if there's anything that's going to impede that quarterback center exchange, you got to be very, very cognizant of it, whether it's a new center or whether, you know, in Josh Allen's case, his elbow was hurt. That affects the game.
The Broncos affected
the game for the Buffalo Bills.
The Broncos had to change centers in the game
last
Sunday.
It was bad.
That guy was struggling.
Yeah, he struggled. You saw it. The world saw it, how bad he struggled. So you just hope that isn't the case for the Tennessee Titans tonight.
Yeah, and at least you would figure they've been practicing with the idea that Ben Jones wasn't going to play for the last 3 days. All right, Nick, our listeners have come through. They have picked us up. They have answered the question. We have news for those that don't have the Fire Stick. All right, Nick, tell us what's going on.
Oh, my goodness. I've received four telephone calls saying the game is on Channel 5. The Titans are playing on Channel 5 tonight.
So it's what I thought, that when your local team is in action, the game is provided on free TV. Yeah, on local channel.
Well, that's
so it's
good.
On Channel 5. Okay, good. So now you just need to do the old. Do people just still do picture in picture?
I don't. Do they have picture in picture still? I don't know. Because if I do have it, I don't use it.
So you just have to have that previous channel button. Bally on one station, Channel 5 on the other for the Titans. So Preds Titans going on. At least there will be some overlap in the game. I think the Preds game will be over before the Titans game. But Channel 5 tonight. Okay. When we come back, it'll be underdog time. And so I will tell you about Lee Company. Big sponsor of our Nashville Predators coverage, which starts tonight at 6 o'clock. Max Herz will be handling the pregame duties. 615-567-1000 for Lee Company. They're all over it when it comes to when the weather gets cold. We were talking about cold weather. Make sure your heating unit is working properly. And if it's not, keep that phone number ready to go, or you can even make an online appointment by going to LeeCompany.com. They have all kinds of great services as well. They'll service your heating unit, plumbing system, electrical system, and, of course, your air conditioning unit when the weather starts getting warmer. So keep that number top of mind, 615-567-1000, or go to LeeCompany.com. Underdogs coming up next.
Ryan Seacrest here. So every great barbecue takes a little patience. And while the food does its thing, you can enjoy a little Chumba Casino. The perfect recipe. Chumba Casino. Always good to have you back.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.